Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Darren Schneider from HDS Rods here in Bismarck, North Dakota, back on the show. We had Darren on earlier this year. We had an open water conversation talking forward sonar and how he and his wife, they've been fishing tournaments a bunch the last handful of years, and they took a break from that this year just to get out and do a bunch more fishing, but also Darren made a transition of they bought into this rod company, and this past summer made the transition to do nothing but the rod business. They made the jump, they made the leap full-fledged into the fishing industry, with Darren quitting his day job, going into making and designing rods and selling fishing rods, both open water and ice rods, and really, really a cool story, to be honest with you. And Darren's a really cool guy, really fun dude to talk to, high energy, and definitely has the passion for fishing, some great skills. We definitely talk fishing in this conversation, but also we talk rods, because I do get a lot of questions about rods, like custom rods or rod building. What's the difference? Why are they so expensive? What's going on out there? The components. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. What's going on? I get questions like that all the time. And so having Darren on, we address some things about his rods and their rod designs and just some of the considerations that they have. And it's really cool, very informational. And towards the end, we talk fishing, because Darren has been getting out doing a ton of fishing here in North Dakota. That is very interesting. It's very interesting. Darren's been going around checking out new lakes, fishing the potholes of North Dakota, and finding a lot of really big fish, to be honest with you. Even in places where there's not a lot of evidence or data or stocking reports or anything out there that would say that there should be, Darren is getting out fishing a ton of new lakes. I think he says like 24 new lakes in one summer. I mean, not a lot of us get out and go fishing 24 times, but Darren's fished 24 new lakes that he'd never fished before this year in one summer, and finding giant walleyes in all of them. So we talk about that. We talk about the significance of that, how he's doing it, but also that's the kind of optimism that we got to have heading into this winter, going out, getting comfortable on new bodies of water, finding new fish, and finding new fish doing different things in different places, and the potential for bigs is out there. So really cool conversation here. Let's get into it. HDS Rods, Darren Schneider. PK Lures offers a deadly lineup of fishing tackle for walleye anglers. If you like to rig live bait, check out their pre-rigged spinner rigs. Everything they have is very unique action profiles and colors. I'm talking about the Dakota Disc or the Wobbler. If you like throwing glide baits, new in 2024, PK came out with the Ridge Glider. It's a shad profile glide bait with an oversized hook, awesome for leaning into big fish. Got a really cool blade accessory on the back for added flash. The action on this thing is so much fun. A must have for anybody that wants to throw glide baits all summer long. Crankbaits, lipless crankbaits, they've got it all. This summer, if you want to set yourself apart and offer the fish something they've never seen before, check out what PK's got at pklure.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Use promo code JMO for 20% off all orders and free shipping for any orders over $75 online. This is the season for hunting and fishing opportunities in the state of North Dakota. If you hunt big game here, remember to do your part in protecting the herd. And that means knowing and following the regulations regarding chronic wasting disease here in the state of North Dakota, specifically the carcass disposal requirements. Any game carcass waste that is transported outside the hunting unit where the animal is harvested must be disposed of via a landfill or waste management provider. If you're hunting big game in North Dakota, it is your personal responsibility to educate yourself on these regulations and this information. Luckily for you, it's very simple. Just head down to the description of this podcast and click on the link. That is gf.nd.gov/CWD. That's where you're going to get the information on the regulations and all information regarding chronic wasting disease in the state of North Dakota. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations. And to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com. That link is in the description. Yeah, and we kind of talked about that last time, I feel like, we talked about the tournament fishing, your passion for fishing, you and your wife.
Yep.
go back and listen to that show, that conversation. But yeah, you took the year off of like the hardcore tournament trail type of lifestyle. And I want to get a little bit of an update on that, including something that we weren't really able to talk about, like recording last time, but is definitely different for you now with, being full time into the rod business. So I kind of want to get, and maybe we can maybe start with that, you know, a little bit, your transition into full time rod business and what that has all been like here, this season. And I'm sure there's going to be no shortage of fishing stories as we move along in this, but I do kind of want to cut to the chase and get sort of a life update from you, because I've been thinking about you a lot in that regard too. And I want to kind of get that out there right away that, you had a full-time job. You and your wife were tournament fishing on your own budget, you know, taking time off work to do all that, just like so many other people, really just driven by, you know, the passion of it all. But you guys, you made a really big leap, more recently. And so, yeah, give me a little bit of an update on that and sort of the timeline and what that all looks like and what that's all been like.
You know, 30 years of been in the woodworking, carpentry, trim business, and it was time. We had, transitioned into the rod shop and been really, really working hard at it, the 100-hour weeks and everything else, where it was like, we either need to back off or we need to go forward with the rod shop full time, because it was too much. You can't get it all done in a day or a week or a month or whatever, So we just made a decision to just jump with both feet and give it a shot. So a couple months ago, we just called it. Well, Heidi's still teaching, and she's got her hands full with a 3-year-old grandson as well. So it's her days in the shop building are limited, but she's still doing a ton of the stuff on the back end, with ordering and the office end of it, and keeping things straight, where I just, that's not my deal,
right on.
Keeping up with the web guy and everything else. And it's a constant work in motion. So the two of us have, and as we go on, it's getting better and better and better. We're just getting a little bit more fine tuned, but very nerve wracking for sure. It's like, we just got to take a chance in life, and I've done that with numerous things in the past. And it's like, well, if it don't work out, you always got something to fall back on. I mean, there's no shortage of people looking for carpenters or trim or cabinet furniture builders, whatever the case is. I can fall back on that whenever, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the fishing industry, just the whole, whether it's building rods or the fishing industry in itself, is probably going to be my full-time career from here going forward. And it's pretty exciting. Very exciting, actually.
Yeah. I'm curious about like the learning curve on that. I mean, 'cause you don't come from the industry, right? I mean, I think anybody, I get questions all the time about, in regard to like custom rods. Like I get like such a variety of questions, almost like none of them overlap either. So it's like, it's hard for me to kind of harness all that sort of like the recommendations, the input over the years, and then like try to formulate questions to answer everybody else's. A question that I have, or, like just with rod building, is like, how do you learn about that stuff? I mean, it's one thing to own and manage a business, right? Maybe there's employees, you have experts in place or whatever, like, you got into this business and you do it, but you don't come from that business. And so I'm really curious, and it's sort of a general question. You make long rods and ice rods, if we have to pick one or the other, given the season, maybe we kind of focus on the ice rods, but this is kind of a big picture question of like, what is that learning curve like for you, man? Like what are the things, what were the questions that you needed to answer for yourself getting into it, as far as like how to do the day-to-day stuff and make the decisions and buying the components? And like, I'm just curious about all of it, getting to that point where you're confident that you can do this as a full-time occupation for yourself, fill that time, you know, and be successful enough as a company, like you got to know stuff, you got to do stuff, man. Like, what's that learning curve like for you? What's it been like? What are some of the light bulb moments, man? I'm just like curious about that whole journey up until now.
You know, I think we're still trying to find that perfect tune, but you know, how do you find where your niche is or where your market is or what? I guess it's listening to your customers. And that's one thing. And just the other day, we were going through a bunch of stuff that we had bought, you know, parts and blanks and stuff that we had bought right away, especially ice blanks. And it's no secret. I'm trying to be as absolute exclusive to North Fork Composites, which is a company owned by Gary Loomis out in Washington State. I was just out there a couple of weeks ago, but they only have 4 ice blanks as of right now to the general public. They're actually working on some ice blanks that are going to be exclusive to us that we're kind of in prototype mode this summer. But so we were going through blanks, you know, that we had started off with, which were overseas blanks and stuff. And I want to get away from those as much as possible, but it's going to take a little bit of transition. So the last couple of years, we've been really working with North Fork to fine tune the ice stuff, but listening, you know, talking to everybody that I possibly can. And granted, you can only, you know, you get that 1% guy that's like, I need this and I need that. And we can find it for them or we can do it, but it's not going to be in our lineup, you know, where you got to try to listen to everybody, whether it's at sports shows or at boat shows or at tournaments. I mean, we didn't fish many tournaments this year, but man, we talked to a ton of different people at tournaments and at shows. We went out to the Montana Gov Cup and spent a couple of days out there and really got a feel for what those guys are looking at, you know, and that's where we rely on our pro staff. You know, we got 20 guys from all the way from New York to Montana. So we listen to what they got going on and what, you know, what their friends and their clients and their following is looking for. And just as we get a little deeper into it, we get a little bit more fine-tuned, And I'm already starting to, there's some long rod blanks that we'd started with that, you know, we might do 8 or 10, 15 of them a year, but it's not going to be one that we really market or push at a hard pace. But I still want to have it for that guy that, you know, I had a guy a couple of weeks ago. He's like, hey, I got this old G. Loomis 6-foot medium extra, 5'9", I'm sorry. It was a 5'9", medium extra fast. I can't find it anywhere. He sends me the picture. It's like, yeah, we got that blank. We got, you know, I can order the parts to build you that exact same rod. You know, it's nothing I'm going to carry in stock, but it's definitely for us, we want to be able to touch even the one, you know, even that 1%, touch that base where that 1% guy needs that. And down the line, he might be like, you know, I'm going to call HDS because they were able to fit this bill and now I need, you know, whatever. So kind of just listening to everybody and what they want, and you know, when we first started, forward facing sonar definitely is not as hot as it is right now. And we have a phenomenal trolling rod and we were selling trolling rods. And now it's the long, you know, it's the spinning rods. It's the precision casting rods. It's the, you know, the finesse rods that we're really pushing. And so that's where our market seems to be heading down towards. So we're getting a little bit more fine-tuned, but I think it's just more listening to what the people want and where the market's missing. You know, we're starting to really ramp up the ice stuff, like I said, and I'm focusing a little bit more on a little bit longer ice rods because I see guys that are, you know, they're hole hopping, they're out there and the 39, 42, 44 inch rod seems to be a heck of a lot more popular for those guys that are out there hole hopping and I mean, I use a 39 all the time in my little shack. I get a little pullover. I got no problem with that at all. And I like the control of it a little bit better. You know, you got a little bit more flexibility on the tip for those big walleyes that you come up the hole and it's tough to get them turned around, you know? So I'm just listening to what a lot of guys are saying and what a lot of guys are looking at because I like it doesn't mean, you know, I got some favorite long rod stuff that most people don't want to even go after, but you know, I'm trying to do the best I can to fit everybody's niche, but yet still fine tune that that one or two or three blanks that everybody really seems to want?
You know, there's just so many, you know, comes and goes. There's so many trends, you know, it just seems like, and that stuff is happening so fast. Like, you know, you mentioned forward sonar and just the impact that that has had on people's preferences. But, you know, I think, you know, just listening to you talk there and just sort of a perspective that a lot of people have and, you know, conversations on this podcast. So it's like, the modern day angler, you know, just nowadays, people are so dialed in. You talk to anybody in retail, anybody that sells anything, and it's unbelievable how, you know, I don't know if educated is really the word. Maybe it is in some cases, but just experienced. The learning curves are so steep right now that people, you know, it's fair to say with the advancements in technology, some people aren't fishing as much, but they're still getting a lot out of their, you know, getting a lot of experience. You know, you look at the amount of young people that are just really proficient nowadays.
Yeah,
it's just a sign of that it doesn't take probably as many hours on the water if you really want to dial in, you know, a certain element. If you want to, you know, if you want to get good at, you know, this thing on this body of water, like, you know, technology and everything. And I feel like the rod technology has a big factor in that. I think that we could talk about that a little bit. Like, you know, people are getting dialed in. Yeah, people are getting so dialed in and comfortable with so many things that we've gotten to the point now where we're demanding more out of our rods, because we're dialed. We can cast good.
Yep.
We can get bites. We've got the lures and stuff. All of a sudden, you know, historically the preferences were probably just comfort. It's like, I want a rod that feels good in my hand so I can hold on to it for this amount of time. That's open water or ice rod, right? But now all of a sudden we're so dialed into our cadences and what triggers a fish. And all that stuff, man. Yeah, like, I mean, you were kind of already mentioning it, but for your ice rods, talking about your ice rod lineup for this year so far, let's talk about what you got and how you got there and what the specialties are there.
You know, I went back to the North Fork stuff, and they have we have a 34 and a 39 light, which is, you know, them nice jumbo perch, the crappies, the walleyes, and I've caught some giant walleyes on the light power 39, and no problem at all. It doesn't have near, I shouldn't say not near, it doesn't have quite the hook set as like the medium light. We got a 34 and a 39 in the medium light as well, and so that's got a little bit more of a hook set power for those bigger walleyes. Both of them are still super phenomenal. And I built those on carbon fiber grips, which is awesome. I mean, those things are so light and so durable. And North Fork's building all of our grips. We've got some specialty grips that they're building just for us, which is pretty cool, whether it's split grip or full grip. And we can modify the length. I got some guys that are, you know, they're like, I need a 32 or I need a 36. Like that's not a big deal. We can do that. But for the most part, we stock a 34 and a 39. And so that's been kind of our base. And then this year we're going to have a 44 medium and a 44 medium extra fast, which is, it's basically the same blank. It's just the extra fast has got just a little bit more top end, a little bit more hook set. And I've spent, probably, oh man, I bet 40, 45 trips. I mean, full days on the open water this year with those ice rods.
And just, that's awesome.
Just testing the grips and the eye placements and things like that, and get a good feel for exactly the way we want them set up. And North Fork's been working with us to get them dialed in real good. So we're excited that, I mean, I've caught some giant walleyes, and people look at me funny. I'm out there with a little 44 inch ice rod, you know, and tooling around in the Vexus and throwing on the Garmin, but it's been so much fun. It's just been a blast to really work that rod. So I'm excited to get that on the ice for sure. And I think that's going to be a huge, you know, the demand for that one has been more focused on Winnipeg. And some of these guys that are looking for a little bit longer rod that has the capability of a heavier bait presentation, you know, not so much to fish. 'Cause like I said, our medium lights, I don't know how many 27, 28, 29 inch walleyes I caught on that medium light last year, no problem at all. But it just, it's a smaller bait presentation where these guys are going to Winnipeg with the bigger rip and wraps and spoons and just bigger all around baits. This rod's going to handle it a heck of a lot more, which is pretty cool. So that's been a lot of fun to play around with that. And we'll see how, and again, all of them right now that we have built, everything's on carbon fiber frames as far as grips and that is something I'm excited about because ice fishing rods just take a beating, you know, and I remember growing up as a kid, I mean, leave them in the bucket and they're banging around and everything else. And it seemed like they never held up. And these carbon fiber grips are just, they're awesome. And they're so light and sensitive. It's unbelievable. So
PK Lures offers a deadly lineup of fishing tackle for walleye anglers. If you like to rig live bait, check out their pre-rig spinner rigs. Everything they have is very unique action profiles and colors. I'm talking about the Dakota Disc or the Wobbler. If you like throwing glide baits, new in 2024, PK came out with the Ridge Glider. It's a shad profile glide bait with an oversized hook, awesome for leaning into big fish. Got a really cool blade accessory on the back for added flash. The action on this thing is so much fun, a must have for anybody that wants to throw glide baits all summer long. Crankbaits, lipless crankbaits, they've got it all. This summer, if you want to set yourself apart and offer the fish something they've never seen before, check out what PK's got at pklure.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Use promo code JMO for 20% off all orders and free shipping for any orders over $75 online. This is the season for hunting and fishing opportunities in the state of North Dakota. If you hunt big game here, remember to do your part in protecting the herd. And that means knowing and following the regulations regarding chronic wasting disease here in the state of North Dakota, specifically the carcass disposal requirements. Any game carcass waste that is transported outside the hunting unit where the animal is harvested must be disposed of via a landfill or waste management provider. If you're hunting big game in North Dakota, it is your personal responsibility to educate yourself on these regulations and this information. Luckily for you, it's very simple. Just head down to the description of this podcast and click on the link that is gf.nd.gov/CWD. That's where you're going to get the information on the regulations and all information regarding chronic wasting disease in the state of North Dakota. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations. And to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com. That link is in the description. I'm curious about that personally, like, because I'm just one of these blue collar guys that's like, if I get one of these super nice expensive rods, you know, I just cherish it and I baby it because I'm just scared that it's going to get a nick in it. And one thing for me, like with a lot of things, like you just think about the mentals, the perception of like when, you know, sometimes something that's a little heavier just sort of, it just sort of translates into durability or quality, right? So like when these carbon fiber things all started showing up and they're so light, I almost get like a little bit self-conscious about that. Like that is it just purely for like sensitivity or, you know, you talk about the durability, like I'm starting to learn more, you know, I pick up things that people say, but I kind of want to talk about that a little bit for you. Like just talking about those kind of components, do you feel like the major benefit is the sensitivity? They're lighter, they're comfortable. But maybe we talk a little bit about the durability. I kind of want to address that a little bit from a component standpoint.
The grips, I was attracted to the grips right away with the long rods, and the durability was huge for me. The fact that you really didn't see them anywhere else was kind of cool. So, you know, when we started building stuff, I'm like, well, you're not seeing this. I'm going to start pushing this, see where it goes. You know, and there's some different colors and things like that, which really appealed to guys. And the more I started using them, the more I took all the rod holders off the Vexus, but we always ran Cisco rod holders last couple of years, you know, and I had, if we were running a dead stick, which I don't do anymore, but you know, a couple of years ago, I'd always have a dead stick in the water because we were moving slow. And carbon fiber full length grip in that rod holder, and fish loads up on it. You grab that rod, pull it out of that rod holder. And it was just, it was over and over and over again. And I had some guys that were running some of our longer 7-10s for bait, you know, for pulling chubs or leeches or whatever, with that full length carbon fiber grip. And you look at it at the end of the year and it's flawless. There's nothing wrong with it. You can take a Scotch-Brite pad and just clean up anything that's on it, whether it's a mar from a rod holder or whatever, or they don't stain. They're just indestructible. So they are light, and they seem like they're not going to hold up with the foam core, but Taylor, they're incredibly strong. Like I said, I was out in Washington State at North Fork, and we learned how to make grips, and the material is just, I can't even explain how cool it is. You know, it's so lightweight, so durable, and there's just, I don't see any downfall to it. I still got guys that, you know, they're like, well, I'm a cork guy. I love the feel of cork. Perfectly fine. Got no problem with that. There's a place for cork, but for me, I really like the durability factor and the cleanliness and they're super sensitive, obviously. You know, cork is an insulator. You see some of the, like the wind grips, for instance, or some of the rubberized grips that some of the manufacturers have, and sure, they're comfortable and they might be a little warmer at times. But at the end of the day, you take any grip out in cold weather, as soon as it gets to the temperature of the air, it's going to stay there until you get it warmer, you know, whether you put it in your hand or whatever. But a cork's an insulator. So you're transporting a sensitivity factor, the vibration, a tiny little tick of a walleye bite. You're going to feel that in a carbon fiber grip more than you're going to feel it in a cork grip or a wind grip or a rubberized grip or whatever. So that's been kind of, you know, talking to Gary Loomis out there, he spent a couple days with us, and his, one of his things that he kept saying is weight is a deterrent to performance. And that's why they've gone to carbon fiber grips a lot too, because the lighter weight grips, better performance, more sensitivity. It's just, and they hold up. It's they're incredible. I don't see anything. I haven't run into anything that I would say is a downfall to them.
Yeah. No. It's a big component to that, right? I mean, because ultimately, you know, and this is, you know, I'm sure I asked you this last time too, but you know, the cost of like a custom rod, you know, or a, you know, just you know, these better premium rods.
Yep.
And that's kind of what, you know, what those of us that are thinking about, like, you know, or either questioning how much they cost and are they really worth it, but maybe not questioning it, but just trying to decide for yourself, like, is that, you know, am I going to budget for, you know, a couple of these rods? Like, what are they going to do for me? I feel like that's a big part of the story, is to really talk about those components and that, you know, talking about that carbon fiber, the grips and stuff like that. For me, right away, I've always been really skeptic of that. I like the old school look of those like Tennessee grip handles, you know, with the full length and all that. And, you know, that carbon fiber, it looks cool, but it's like I said, like when I grab it and it's that light, I understand the performance side of things, but I've always been so skeptic on quality and durability, because like with anything else in life, when you buy tools or you buy this or you buy that, like, you know, just density and weight a lot of times is quality. You know, like something heavier usually means it's tougher. And then but you know so anyways, I appreciate that part of the story, because I think that's something that I, you know, yeah, I guess that was just something that I needed you to answer for me. And I know there's different thing with guides and stuff too, but you mentioned something interesting that probably a lot of people aren't always thinking of, you know, and this is, you know, I can appreciate your personal experience and passion for fishing. You're out there just relentlessly, you know, doing your own testing. You're talking about the placement of eyelets and things like that. Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, that's something I know nothing about. Is that a big deal? Is that something that you kind of get really particular about, that you feel like has a lot to do with, you know, rod performance? Tell me a little bit about that.
For sure. You know, it's, and our biggest thing this year was making sure that, because ice rods are so short, obviously, and you don't have as much distance between the first eye guide and your reel. So you want to make sure that you got a big enough eye guide that you're not going to get that feel of the resistance of the eye guide. It's far enough up. It's still, you know, it's still aligned with the parabolic bend of the rod and everything else. It's just basically the feel of everything. It wasn't, you know, little trial and error here with different reels, different sizes and stuff like that. But, and granted, I mean, you guys aren't going out there casting, but, you know, I was easily able to cast on a 70, 80 foot fish out, you know, 70, 80 foot out on the Garmin. But, so yeah, guide placement is definitely something that you go with your gut, you know, with your bend chart, your parabolic bend and guide placements that direction. But I guess it's more, like you said, a little bit of feel and trial error that I've experienced. I mean, you know, North Fork definitely has a guide placement chart on all their stuff and the blank recommendation, things like that. And we get them in and we practice around with them a little bit. And so it's a little bit of trial error, but I think we got it dialed in pretty well, especially on the 44s and things like that. The 39, 34s, we've had them on the ice last 2 years. And just, I think it's just where it needs to be. So it's not an issue at this point. So, but again, you know, like long rods, for instance, that all changes with custom stuff, guys, like I said, whether guys want a 6'10 or a 7'2 or whatever. So we got to set up charts and get that all figured out. So it's definitely, everybody's got an opinion on it. And there doesn't seem like there's any perfect, I shouldn't say there's not a perfect, because there's a perfect formula, but it might not match somebody's preference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It really, that is one thing I've learned with this whole experience with the rod company, is that everybody seems to have a little bit of preference on what they want. And whether it's right or wrong, you know, according to the specifications or the experts, so to speak, you know, that might be building something or whatever, it's their preference. And if that's what they want, we'll build it. You know, it's not that big a deal. I mean, try to listen to your customer. You know, they always say the customer is always right, so to speak. And whether it's perfect in a balance situation or a placement situation, if that's what they want, that's what they want. I'm not going to sit and argue with them, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes that's where the cool discoveries happen. That's where cool things start happening. That's where discussions, you know, and debates, that's where real learning happens probably a lot of times, you know?
And it, like I said, it might not be, you get two guys that walk up, you know, a classic example, two guys walked up at the Gov Cup last year and started talking rods and, you know, they're both about the same height, same weight, same everything, you know, they're tournament partners, they're fishing together. And one guy's like, you know, I don't use a rod unless it's over 7'2", 7'3". And the other guy's like, I can't touch it if it's not under 6'6". And it's just complete personal preference. And I mean, just two guys that share the boat together all the time, and they just have complete opposite directions. So, yeah. And there's so many options now compared to the way it used to be. You know, it ain't no different than hunting and guns and whatever. I mean, there's so many more options now that guys can get a little bit more particular. Guys can get a little bit more specific in exactly what they want, you know? And like you said, you're getting it dialed in and I got some guys that really feel that, you know, a rod that's under 6'6" is better for their casting ability as far as being right on the mark with forward facing sonar. Cause there's, let's face it, that's one of the key components in using forward face sonar. You have the ability to look at, you know, a dead 12 o'clock, know that fish is at 12 o'clock at 60 feet, and you got to make that cast. If you don't make the cast, he might not see it. So, you know, if your preference is 6'6", then go with it. It's not, you really gotta, be able to feel something. And that's where, you know, like going to some of the tournaments and things like that, and giving a guy a rod and go fish it. If you don't like it, we'll take it back. We'll get you into something you don't like, or, you know, at least they get a feel for things and stuff like that. So it's a lot of personal preference. It really is. And I can, you know, recommend what I like, or I got guys, like I said, on our team that, you know, they'll send their friends and it's like, well, so-and-so told me to get this. And it's like, yeah, absolutely. And he's like, well, I kind of, you know, some people like, I like that idea, but you know, I prefer, like I said, prefer a 6.6 or 7.3 or 7.6 or whatever. So it really, I don't think there's any perfect situation. It's a lot of personal preference, plain and simple.
Yeah. So. But I like that, you know, that you're listening to anglers, you're doing a lot of fishing yourself, you know, you've got a lot of your own experience to fall back on. And I think that's cool too. You know, there's definitely a few examples in the industry, you know, of rod makers, you know, that fish. I think if I'm an angler, if I know that about a company, that gives me confidence to buy from that. If I didn't know anything else, but I had, you know, three rods in front of me at a retail store, and yep. I didn't know anything about these other two, but I knew that Snyder's at HDS fished a lot. Yeah. I think it's okay to say that would influence my buying decision. And so I like, you know, talking, you know, when you talk about, you know, just getting out there yourself and having personal preferences, but that's not how you're not building these rods for yourself, ramming it down our throat. You're listening to everybody you can get, you know, get involved with. So like, I think that's really great. I mean, that I'm all about all that. But I like your own personal experience and just having, you know, you just kind of have your own fishing experience.
We've been doing a ton of fun fishing this year. Like I said, we took the year off a tournament. We fished AIM Nationals, which was a ton of fun. Came up a little short again, but that's all right. But so we did a ton of exploring, fun fishing, really got back trying to connect me and Heidi, as far as, you know, it's with the grind of the tournaments, it got to be more of a job, and not, and especially for her, it wasn't as fun. So we got out and been hitting ponds this year and I've been making a ton of snap stories and really featuring some of the rods. You know, I got a 7.1 light extra fast that is a new blank with North Fork has. And the thing is, I mean, I got a Daiwa Kage on there, and I think the rod and reel with that Daiwa Kage equipped with line is like 7.6 ounces. It's just, it's insanely light. But for a light power, I was a little like, you know, how's this going to be for a while? It's unbelievable, but we're constantly making snap stories and guys are fun, and they're like, geez, that thing is, you know, unbelievable. So I'm featuring some rods when I'm out there and getting guys that, you know, that are constantly asking questions, that are following our snap stories and stories on Instagram and things like that. And so they get a little bit of an idea of what we're doing and how we're using it. And same with our guys who are making some videos and stuff like that and send them out. Cause let's be honest, Taylor, how do you spend $200-$400 on a rod or anything for that matter, in sporting goods, but how do you spend $350 on a rod and have never touched it, you know? And being, we're not in a ton of retails. We got a few small tackle shops that carry our stuff. But we're not in a bunch of places. So, you know, to have the, I guess, have the just throw caution to the wind and trust me to call me up and start talking fishing. And one of the first things I, you know, it's like, what do you want to accomplish? You know, and a lot of guys will call me up. They're like, hey, I need a good jigging rod. I get that a lot. And it's like, okay, what size jigs? What are you doing? You know, because let's face it, you need a good jigging rod. You in the Detroit River, using 3/4 1-ounce jigs, you know you're pitching eighths and 3/16ths out on a prairie pothole or a pond or you know, death jigs out on Green Bay or whatever. So mm-hmm. It's like I'm not just gonna sell you a jigging rod. I need to know what's your typical jig? You know, a lot of guys quarter 3/8. It's like, well, medium light's plenty for that, you know? And so we'll start dialing. It's like, okay, well, what kind of length do you like? What, you know, what kind of grip are you? And so I'll sit down and talk to a guy and talk about fishing and what they like to do. And it's like, okay, so with what you're telling me, this rod's going to fit you probably a little bit better. Now, again, personal preference, you know, carbon fiber, cork, you know, most guys have never had carbon fiber. So they're very interested. They're very curious about it. It's like, give it a shot. If it don't work out, we'll put you in something different, you know? So it's been a lot of fun talking to guys that don't, you know, they know what they want, or they think they know what they want. And then you start talking to them. They're like, well, heck, I'll try that. And so far everybody's been super happy. And the response coming back has been phenomenal. So
I mean, you're selling, it's that day and age now where you know, so many people are buying their first custom or premium rod.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like not first time anglers, experienced anglers, yeah. Anglers that fish a lot are finally, you know, you're getting enough dialed in. The economy is, it's like, it's amazing how many very experienced anglers are making, you know, these types of purchases. Now it's an exciting time in fishing, you know, like I've talked to Jason about it, you know, on past shows that, like, you know, he designs rods. He's been in the rod industry yep. for a long time. And it's just so,
yep.
His stories about being in the rod business are, you know, a little bit comical probably for a lot of people to hear, but it, you know, it's just interesting how, you know, back when he got started in designing an ice rod, like the meat stick, I mean, a combo at $65 was like the premium price point,
you know,
and that's not that long ago. Like that, you think about 15, 20 years ago or whatever, like, you know, so anyways, the industry definitely moving fast. But I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, the fishing that you've been doing this year, because I follow along. I try to reach out to you every once in a while, just so that just so you know I'm thinking about you. I see you out there. But yeah, man, like optimism, right? Like they're like you know, what, regardless of what the season is, if people are still trying to chase some soft water, or you know, you're looking towards you know, this early ice season that's on the horizon. Like fishing right now across the Midwest, like I can have a conversation, an optimistic conversation with anybody from anywhere. But man, if you're here in the Dakotas right now, like the quality of fish that are showing up on so many of our water bodies, you know, we don't even have to mention places like Winnipeg or Lake of the Woods or whatever. It's like, man, look at what we got here in the Dakotas. You know, not just targeting, going out and getting excited about catching eaters. It's there's some nice fish out there, man. So give me a little taste of what you've been experiencing in some of these Dakota potholes, so that, you know, we can all start maybe ransacking some stalking reports and maybe getting excited.
You know, my entire, I'm 49 years old now, and I've lived here my entire life. I've never fished these ponds ever, you know, and up until a few years ago, coyote hunting was my deal. So ice fishing came around and I just didn't have the time to do it. And getting into this now, you know, started ice fishing a little bit, started seeing the potential in some of these ponds. But still, Cockawea was kind of my bread and butter. And this year went up there and fished AIM Nationals, and we did a Warriors event up there. But other than that, I never even cared to go to Secaucus to fish this year. And which seems weird, but I've never in my life caught this many giant walleyes in one year ever. Not even close. The amount of giant walleyes, you know, that 26 to 30 inch fish, it seems like 29 and a half, 29 and three quarters is where they seem to be topping out at. We caught a number of 30 inch fish. I fished a little tiny pond way down southeast. I don't even know how big it was, but I literally went around the lake twice with my trolling motor in about 4 hours. And only caught four fish, and it was a 29, a 30, a 30 and a one, a 29, a 30, a 31 and a 31 and a quarter in a pothole that most people would never even consider. But you're right. It's the opportunity out there in North Dakota right now is incredible. And it's so easy to get online, look at the Game and Fish website, be able to pull up, all the information's right there. All you got to do is go out and fish. It's go out and explore some stuff. It's crazy. We fished 24 new lakes this year that I had never been on in my entire 24 brand new lakes, and two of them were a bust where we didn't see or catch much of anything at all. And I think 18 of them, we caught a 28 or bigger on 18 of those. Oh, and man, there's a lot of lakes that, you know, they show, you know, the average size fish, the biggest fish netted. And just about every single lake we fished, we caught a bigger fish than what they say was the biggest fish netted. So they're there. And I don't have any desire to go fish Kakwea. This was the first time that I did not fish Devil's Lake in I don't know how many years. And I wanted to, because I love Devil's Lake because of the variety of fishing. But that's the other thing with these potholes is I've learned so much about walleyes this year that, and especially with Garmin, it makes things, you're able to see things that, I mean,
yeah,
the weeds and the trees and the rocks and walleyes are not what people my entire life, make sure you're on the bottom, make sure you're on the bottom. You don't need to be on the bottom. You might as well get a topwater bait. I mean, the frogs, I mean, I caught so many walleyes that had frogs in them, especially the last few months. We did keep a few fish this year. You know, it's like finally get to go out and bring some fish home to eat. And every fish you'd clean would be completely stuffed full of frogs.
It's the fun new thing, you know, like you talk about. It's like, you know, Sakakawea is, and I feel this way too, 100%. Like Sakakawea is, like that'd be what I'd have to say is my home body of water, just because it translates in conversation. I can say that, yep, and everybody just knows where I'm at and what I got going on. But the potholes have always been an unbelievable opportunity in my mind. We promote it all the time. We talk about it all the time. But I think, you know, what you said about if you go out there and you put in the work.
Yep.
And, you know, and make no mistake, you know, we talked about it the first time with you. You're a forward sonar, you know, enthusiast, you know, you're working on that all the time. So that's a big part of this story for you, for sure. But for anglers that are listening to this, it's like, man, maybe they're not, you know, maybe they don't have a forward sonar or whatever, but I think there's still a lot to take away from what is happening out there. And that is that, there's still so much more pioneering and learning yet to do. And if fishing with confidence and fishing with optimism is a huge deal. So like, if you are just chasing stocking reports and you want to go out there and target what is represented in data, you know, online, like that's great. Like that'll get you there. That helps you pick a place to go fish. But if the opportunity for you is one of these smaller potholes that's closer, it's a closer drive, but you know, yep, the stocking reports or the netting or the creel service, like recent history doesn't really, yep, say a ton, man. Those are some of the places that you're going out and you're putting in work. You're putting the blinders on. You're saying, I don't need to know what anybody else has going on. I'm just going to go out here because it's new to me. I want to be more comfortable on new water where mapping is probably garbage. I'm not even using it. I'm just putting the trolling motor in at the boat ramp, and I'm just getting forward sonar, getting side scan in the water, and I'm just flexing my skills and building on my skills of like finding and catching fish. And I think, you know, it's just that stuff's happening in the wintertime too. It's like, you just got to go out to some of these places. And in some cases, if you fish hard all the time, optimistically, just know that in so many of these places that don't necessarily say or have a fishing report that's outstanding, or don't, people aren't talking about how all these big lunkers that are coming out of some of these potholes. If anything, if that's what keeps it quiet and keeps other people off of it, man, like get out there and get after it, because, you know, guys like you are just cleaning up. You're cleaning up on what everybody else just, you know, would never have confidence, you know, until somebody, is holding our hand saying, here's the report, here's all these big fish, this is exactly the waypoint you got to be on. You know, I mean, that's kind of extreme. I think there's definitely a lot of adventurous anglers out there, but we are definitely still crippled in our own mind with some old school thinking that, like, you know, I don't know. It's like, but I'm just so, it just gets me so jazzed up and juiced up. That, you know, like what you're doing is something that I would aspire to, like fishing new water all the time. I love that. Like, it's important for me personally as an angler to build skills of like being comfortable where I don't have waypoints, being comfortable where I don't know nothing. And you know, picking a new body of water all the time, or if you're on a big body of water like Sakakawea, just use a different boat ramp. Every time you go out, fish a new stretch, you know, and just test your mettle that way. And you're testing your mettle on all this. And it's like, man, there's a lot of big fish out here that we need to be paying more attention to, because it's a ton of fun. And the reward is there when you put in the work and you finally get, sometimes it's like you said, sometimes you go somewhere and you only catch four fish. That, you know, depending upon who's listening to that or how it's received, it's like, oh, I wouldn't drive anywhere over an hour away just to catch four fish. No, man. Like, the things that were learned and discovered about your gear, your stuff, yourself, like it's like a tuition that was paid on your next lights out day where you caught 40 fish, because you're dialing things in when they're not just jumping in the boat. But then when you put in that work very specifically, and those four bites are what you said, it's like, man, sometimes I just need those four bites over the course of an entire winter would make my whole winter. Like, individually, like once a month, if I catch a 28 incher a month, that'd be like the best rate of trophy catch I've ever had in my life. Like, I mean, that, you know, and so anyways, yeah, I just think that stuff is super inspiring, man. I'm all about it.
There's so many, I hear it all the time, guys that, you know, especially with four fish, they want to learn. But yet you hear, you know, and I talk to them, it's like, go try this, go try that. And then halfway through the day, you'll snap them, you'll text them and say, how's it go? Ah, we weren't doing anything. So we dropped trolling rods, we dropped the bait rods, we started pulling chubs. And it's like, no, if you want to learn, you have to test yourself. You have to try something. You have to go out to, you know, whether it's going with a buddy that wants to do it as well and has a dedication, or literally go by yourself. I don't fish with a ton of different people, but usually the guys that want to go, they're serious enough that it's like, hey, we're going to go try this lake. I've never been there. There is no mapping there. I mean, literally there is no mapping. We're going to drop the boat in. We're going to put the trolling motor down. You bring two rods. And Taylor, I took shortly after AIM Nationals, I took all the tackle out of our boat, everything. Took everything out of the boat. I have two cardboard boxes full of tungsten jigs. I have a box full of PK spoons and some plastics, and that's it. That is it. You challenge yourself, find a fish, make it bite. It's going to bite. I mean, you look at Tom Wynn. What does he do? He throws plastics. He throws tungsten jigs and worms. I went through 8 flats of crawlers this year throwing jigs and crawlers, and that's. You go out, literally went out and took two ice rods. The only thing in my boat is a cardboard box full of freaking jigs, a flat of crawlers, and two ice rods, and spent all day casting on walleyes and was always having fun. You know, so it's like, you want to learn, go test yourself. Don't take the chubs. Don't take the long rods. Don't take the cranks. Don't take any of that stuff. Go out and test yourself. That's the only way you're going to get out of the box and learn. and guys just get in a habit. And yeah, I mean, Skokomi is a great fishery, but how many times you gone up there and you had a bust, you know, where,
oh,
where
it can be tough. It can be tough for
got,
sure.
You got too windy to fish or, you know, it got flat calm. And we all know on Skokomi, it gets flat calm. It gets tough. And especially with traffic on the weekends, you know, and whatever, these lakes, these little lakes are full of fish, whether it's, I mean, I've been to some where you go out and you'll catch 80, 90, 100 walleyes that are, you know, between 17 and 22 inches. And, you know, that 22, 23 inch fish, that's the biggest walleye that's going to be in there, but you're also going to knock a pike now and then. I mean, I went to one little lake and I was catching walleyes like crazy. And all of a sudden I'm like, geez, those got to be perch and they got to be big perch. Either that or they're little walleyes pitched out there. Whack, caught a 13 inch perch. Next thing you know, it's like,
you better be way putting that situation for this winter, huh?
20 perch later, I had 20 in the box that were all between 11 and 13 inches.
Now we're talking. You know? Yeah. See, and that's, I feel like, you know, like in the wintertime too, it's just, you know, you're limited to, you know, what ice fishing really is in comparison, right? You don't have the boat, you don't have the mobility, yep, or whatever. So you're drilling hole at 8 inches or 6 inches or 10 inches at a time or whatever it is, right? Whatever your style is, whatever.
Yep.
But that being said, I feel like the real, like, the approach to ice fishing that I feel like is has that, like, test your mettle mentality is new, fresh water. Going, you know, talking about going to these different places, or just fishing over structure, finding something that's far enough removed that it's probably different, it's a different pattern, or it's whatever, different fish population that you normally fish. And breaking it down, so you're just, I don't know, you're just so much more enthusiastic about the out-of-the-box thinking, the presentations that are going to make you more efficient, that are going to help you learn about triggering fish, and just where you might find them, and what they might be doing when you get there. When you get away from your old waypoints, or get away from a body of water that you just have too much time on, is, yep, where cool things start happening mentally. And in your mentality, like, you know, and that confidence just goes through the roof. But there is still enough time left in soft water. If anybody out there, if their boat is still like ready to go, oh, yeah, you can get out there, not just for catching fish, but to get out there and mark some fish and lay down, get in some places that you've never been to before and start marking down some old weed lines, find some rock piles, just find some things that you can get back out on first ice and really sink your teeth into, because yeah, that's another fun element to this time of year too, when you're on new water, places that are, you're just, you don't even know what the next 100 feet or 100 yards is going to look like. Exactly. You know, it just has that inherent, like, optimism of, like, you know, just like, man, what are we going to see right up here? But when you've been there 100 times, you kind of already tell yourself what you're going to see, you know, right up here, because you've already been there. But it's like, yep, and then when, and if that school of fish, or if that big mark isn't there where you've seen it before, that memory, when it's not there, just, it's just a little chink that comes out of your armor of your confidence. But it's like, man, when you can get comfortable being on that new water. So that's what I've really enjoyed watching you, and, you know, on your adventures here this year. And I've been excited to talk to you about that, but yeah, it's
been an incredible year. I can't wait for hard water. I mean, obviously, I think there's still going to be a couple days. We got a little, me and Heidi bought a little 16 and a half foot tiller this year, the Ditch Pirate, and we've put it in literally off the road on a couple of lakes that, you know, are ice fishing access only. That just turned out to be phenomenal, and I'm hoping we can get, I know, we we got a little boat that's, I can't even, you know, paid $3,000-$4,000 for it, and literally, you know, I ordered a couple of TKI poles for it, and those TKI carbon fiber LiveScope poles are unbelievable. But we got three times the amount of electronics and batteries in that boat than the boat's worth itself. But all that you need is a trolling motor to get you around some of that stuff, you know, and the little 60 horse if a guy needs to get back to the dock in a hurry. But again, it's that opportunity is there, and if a guy wants to test himself and get, and most of those places are target rich. I mean, you're not necessarily going to catch giant fish all the time, but don't get, like you keep saying, don't get in that mindset of has to. This summer, there's been a couple times where you go along and they're not in the weeds like they have been. They're not, you know, they're not relating to structure. You could just put the trolling motor on 10, start driving around. It's like, oop, here's one out in the mud flat. Here's another one out in the mud flat. Next thing you know, all I concentrate on is 6 to 8 foot mud flats. And you're catching random walleyes in the middle of the water column in 6 foot of water in nowhere. Why are they there? I'm not 100% sure, but they're there because there must be eating. And what they're eating, shrimp, bugs, little fish, I don't know, but they're there. And it's been a really good learning experience for us this year to go out, get out of the box and realize that walleyes aren't what everybody used to think they are. And a lot of people still think, you know, it's like if you ain't a foot off the bottom, if you ain't pulling spinners, if you ain't pulling at 1.8 miles an hour, those fish, they're not anything what you think they are, which is, it's been a lot of fun. And I'm really looking forward to the next year or so before we probably dive back into tournaments hardcore again.
Yeah. And when you do finally someday get back and put some serious time into Sakakawea, you'll have a fresh pair of eyes. You'll have fresh. Oh, yeah. You got a whole new arsenal of confidence, and you're going to get back. You're going to be way more objective. And yeah, sometimes you just got to scrub the palate clean. And you know, it can be a lot of fun in the meantime. Oh. But I tell you what, let's let everybody know where they can find you and find your rods. And then this winter sometime, you and I'll stay in touch for sure.
Oh yeah.
Maybe we'll get a winter update or, you know, sometime by next spring. But
bet.
That being said, man, let's wrap this one up. Let everybody know where they can find you if they have questions, or if they want to check out your rods.
Yeah. We got, the HDS.com, website. You can go on there and kind of see what we got. We're still working on the website a little bit because things have changed so much but again, guys can, you know, the phone number on there, my cell number is 701-805-5757. Pick up the phone and call me. I mean, I'm doing this full time now. I'm in the shop 12 to 14 hours a day and it's a ton of fun to sit and, you know, whether new beer or a guy that's fishing his entire life, it's fun to sit and chat. So, you know, give me a call, email me, hit me up on Snapchat and follow stories. It's we can get you set up with whatever you want. That's for sure.
Dude, that's what I wanted to cover, man. I wanted to get it.